This is the Dan Le Batard Show with the Stugatz Podcast.
I tell you what, I appreciate the errors that Stugatz makes on the regular because it really lowers the bar, the expectations for what we have to do when we fill in. This is the Dan Le Batard Show here on ESPN Radio. Filling in for Dan Le Batard, it's me, Jen Latta. Filling in for Stugatz, it's Katie George. What's up, Katie?
Should I guarantee mistakes right off the bat just to be my best Stugatz today, Jen? Do you think
Absolutely.
That would be appropriate?
Okay. Absolutely. I feel like it makes the audience and the listeners feel like we get the show, because that's a big thing here, right?
Oh, it's a huge thing. I learned that the hard way last
yeah,
week.
I saw your approval ratings.
Hopefully you and I can have a better approval rating than I had with Peter Burns. Let's just put it that way.
We got a pretty stacked show for everybody out there. And lots of things to talk about. We're 1 week away from the MLB season. July 30th is the start of the NBA season. The NHL season starts on August 1st. We're going to hear from Emily Kaplan, our ESPN NHL reporter, a little bit later in the show. There was a mind-blowing expose that Sports Illustrated put out about former NFLer Kabir Bajabiamila. And if you haven't gotten a chance to read it, it's all over Twitter. Three parts. It's a long read. You got to really invest some time into it. Maybe take your phone into the bathroom with you, because I know that you guys spend a lot of time in there. You might get through a piece or two. And the author of that, Kaylin Kaler, is going to join us later in the show as well. I mean, this is a deep dive into some very bizarre stuff. So I'd love to hear the process she went through for that article. We're also going to hear from Liz Clark of The Washington Post. She, one of the authors of that expose, the scandal story that broke yesterday that everyone was waiting for, from dream job to nightmare, about more than a dozen women who allege sexual harassment and verbal abuse by former team employees in the Washington football franchise. So obviously that was something that dominated talk last night as the article dropped around, 5 p.m. Eastern time. Katie, what was your reaction to that story?
So I'll be curious to see what you think of this. And so on Tuesday, right, was the initial date that it was supposed to drop. The Washington Post said that they had, you know, earth-shattering information that was going to be bigger news than the Washington Redskins deciding to change their names. And so I thought, oh my gosh, what is going to come out about the Washington Redskins? Because this is going to be huge. And then they pushed it back to Thursday. And all of this was circulating around Daniel Snyder specifically, right? Daniel Snyder, this is going to be damning information about Daniel Snyder. And say what you want about the guy. I know he doesn't have a lot of fans in his corner and supporters. I think the internet sometimes is a detriment, Jen, because I think it overhyped what was supposed to come out. And I'm not diminishing the horrific items that were explained in detail in this expose of what women went through. But I have to be honest, I was expecting Daniel Snyder to be a part of those allegations personally, Jen. And when he wasn't, for all the people who said this is going to be information leading up that is going to make him have to sell the team, he's not going to have any other option than selling the team. When I read the article twice, I don't know if it's the necessary information to make and force Daniel Snyder to actually have to sell it, because he wasn't personally included in the allegations. Now, what went on in the culture? The culture's messed up, and the culture needs to change without a doubt. And what happened to those women when they were going to do their jobs and the things that they had to think about while trying to perform and make sales, like, that's awful to me. And it seems like they had a lot of bad eggs that thought that that kind of activity and that inappropriate behavior was condoned. I'm glad they got rid of a couple of those people and they decided to leave. Alex Santos, Richard Mann being one, Larry Michael, the voice of the Redskins for so long. But I don't know, Jen, and I'm curious to hear what you think, if that's the kind of allegations, because he's not personally included in them, to force him to sell the Washington Redskins.
I think you make a great point in that the article doesn't exist in a vacuum, right? It didn't exist solo. It wasn't by itself. It was affected by all of the things you mentioned, which was this idea. It's been affected by the fact that the team has been in the news recently for being, you know, having this racial nickname and pressure to change it, and the sponsors that have pulled their support of the team if they didn't change the name. So like all of that was in there as well. It's not as though this was just like this arbitrary team that no one was thinking about, that no one was talking about, that hadn't been accused already of having a questionable culture, right? So then, like you said, it's supposed to drop early and people are like, when's it coming? We're all like salivating because we love scandal. We love the dirty details. We love like reading all of that like salacious stuff. And the problem with that is exactly what you said. When we weren't fed it right away, when it didn't come when we wanted to, right? This like immediate gratification society that we live in. I want it now. Give it to me right now. Then we were able to imagine and create ideas about what it could be, right? And so like that was the biggest issue I saw leading into the release of this piece, which, as you state, has merits all on its own. Like, it's a topic that needs to be discussed. It's obviously something that is a problem in the sports industry and beyond. But it was more problematic that people were hypothesizing and like guessing as to like what it was about. I saw some of our colleagues' names and former colleagues' names being dragged through the mud, like completely unfairly, as people were trying to speculate if they were involved in this, you know, titillating scandal. Like, that's not right. I saw mentioning of like of Epstein. Like, ooh, is Epstein going to be involved in this? Like, you're talking about one of the most like terrible people of the last, you know, however long you want to go, last decade, right? As far as like what he was accused of. And now you're attaching that to this. Like, all of that was like wholly unfair. And again, the merits of the article alone, they're there. We need to talk about the systematic harassment, sexual harassment, and sexism that exists in these spaces. But damn, if they didn't mess up the process by letting people spin on it for a couple of days. And the reporters who put out like, yeah, yo, dog, I'm hearing some stuff. It's not good. Like, it really was problematic.
I know, and I hate that part because I think Twitter, as great as it is, can be a detriment. Social media in general can be a detriment, and I don't want to overhyped isn't the proper word for it, because that diminishes what happened to these women in this article, which is horrible, and they shouldn't have had to have dealt with that on a day-to-day basis, and they shouldn't be crying in the bathroom at lunch break with others who are going through the same thing, and they shouldn't have to be fending off sexual advance after sexual advance via text message, you know, in fear of trying to keep their job. But at the same time, your point, like, you're reading things on Twitter like, is he actually a friend of Jeffrey Epstein, and was he a part of that circle? Like, that's crazy, and that's unfair that so many people's name got dragged through the mud because people were just creating things to create it while we waited. And that's the detriment of social media, and I hate that for some people who yesterday and the day before probably were days of hell for them, of wondering, what is this Washington Post expose going to be about? Am I included? I have no idea. I mean, the whole thing I thought wasn't good. I didn't think it looked good from the optics. I thought that it was handled poorly, to say the least. And I think a lot of people were fueling the handling of it just from spouting off on their Twitter. And that to me was unfair for a lot of people.
And it minimized ultimately, and I don't think this was the intention at all, it ended up minimizing the story because it couldn't live up to the expectations that people had created in their mind. It's kind of like when you read a book and you picture who plays the main characters in your head, and then that book gets turned into a movie and you're like, no, man, that's not how
that's
I pictured
how I
in my head.
It.
Like, that's not how it went down in my head. And it can't ever live up to the story you created in your brain. And the problem is, this is already an issue, Katie, as I'm sure you well know, as many of our female colleagues in this space know, that already gets minimized.
Oh,
we're
absolutely
already told, relax, you're no fun. Just go
it's
along.
Just a joke.
Yeah, don't rock the boat. Oh, I thought you were cooler than that. And then you're sitting there questioning your own judgment, going, am I being gaslit right now? Or maybe I am overly sensitive. Maybe this is just how it goes. Hey, I want to be accepted in this space. Maybe I do need to just go along. And like, if you think that that's not something that happens regularly for women in the space, just scroll through Twitter, man. Just scroll through Twitter over the last 24 hours and look at all the women who have identified with what those 15 women talked about in the Washington Post piece. We are going to be joined by Liz Clark of the Washington Post, one of the two articles, along with Will Hobson, who put together this expose on the rampant sexual harassment in the Washington football franchise offices. As Katie alluded to, many of the people who have been singled out and named in the piece have since been fired or left. I believe the play-by-play guy that you mentioned announced yesterday that he was quote-unquote retiring from the team. How convenient.
Yep. It's been a good run, is what he said.
What
I'm sure
timing.
It has.
I'm sure he's got many, many other things that he'll be focusing his attention on now. We're going to talk more about this on the Dan Le Batard Show. We have a lot of other things to get to. ESPN released a list of the best arena hype music, and we have some problems with it. Come on. Get it. If you get a chance, subscribe to ESPN Daily. It was put out in the ESPN Daily email. It's a great compilation, but come on. Katie, I know you were like, mm-mm.
Oh, I have notes. I actually wrote them down because I'm this invested in this.
Katie George didn't take any notes on the Washington Post article, but she has many, many on the hype music list that ESPN Daily put out. Guests on the Dan Le Batard Show appear via the Shell Pennzoil Performance Line. Pennzoil synthetic motor oils are made from natural gas. It gives you unbeatable engine protection. The proof is in the Pennzoil, based on Sequence 4A wear test using SAE 5W30. Jen Latta, Katie George. We are not Dan and Stu Gotts, much to your disappointment, I'm sure. But we have been talking, coincidentally, about the story that broke on the Washington Post last night, the story of the rampant sexual harassment within the Washington football franchise's front office and beyond. Katie and I would much rather be talking about some other stuff, guys. We would. We would love to be talking about, I don't know, anything else. What size shoes we wear. The color of our masks. Like, anything else, guys. Really. But this is a story that broke last night, so we have been talking about it for the last half hour. We're going to take a break from it right now because on the ESPN Daily email, if you don't subscribe to ESPN Daily, it's really easy to fix that. Just go to the ESPN app, find the daily link, click it. Drops in your inbox every day. It's a good little way to shake it up. You can also listen to the ESPN Daily podcast with Mina Kimes, soon to be Pablo Torre. But it's just a way to kind of get your daily sports fix early in the morning. I love it. It's one of the first things I open up. And today, Katie, I'm not going to lie.
You're upset.
Not thrilled.
Tell us why. Use this as your therapy session.
And I will do that. You just need to give me a minute to vent on this, just to like stew on this, because first I need you to get to our SportsCenter update.
Ah, yes. 15 women who previously worked for Washington's NFL organization have alleged sexual harassment and verbal abuse by former scouts and members of owner Daniel Snyder's inner circle. Rogers Place in Edmonton, one of the two arenas the NHL is using as a hub to restart its season this summer, suffered water damage Thursday night as a significant storm came through the city, but officials say that it should be ready by the time the NHL restarts. And finally, in the early 1900s, avocados were referred to as alligator pears. Yes, you heard that correctly. In the early 1900s, avocados were referred to as alligator pears. For all the latest headlines and information, tune into SportsCenter on ESPN Radio all throughout the day.
Would you believe, Katie George, that I knew that about the avocado?
No, you didn't.
Yes, I did, because we play trivia here at the house, and I think it recently popped up on one of our trivia games. Like, I think my kid plays Trivia Royale. Have you played this game at all? It's like you sign in. There's like 1,000 people that play, and you answer trivia questions. And if you win your round, you move on. So then the next round has like 500 people. And if you win your next round...
Oh, wait. I do know this. It's on the app, right?
Yeah.
And it only happens. Isn't like HVQ, guys, what is it? Chris, I'm sure you know. What is this one? HVQ or something? Like, there's a host.
HQ. Are you talking about just HQ?
Is it HQ, Jen?
Yes.
Maybe. I don't know. These are details that I need to get from my 11-year-old, because he's the one that really introduces us to all the cool stuff. I mean, like, he told us about TikTok like a year ago. And we were like, yeah, go back to your room, right? Unfortunately, he did the same thing with this Trivia Royale. And one of the questions recently was about avocados and alligator?
Pears.
Pears, alligator
Which,
pears,
to be
yes.
fair, now that I think about it, Chris, who found that gem, a diamond in the rough, if you will, it makes sense.
Perfect sense.
It's got that coarse, gross shell, and it does, I mean, it is in the shape of a pear, not to mention it's green most of the time.
I'm trying to think of what I would name it. Other fruits, if I had to come up with like a creative name for other fruits, and I'm coming up blank. Like a banana, like a, you know what, never mind on the banana. Let's move on.
Let's put somebody on the spot. Roy, what would you call a coconut if it didn't go by coconut?
Oh, man, that's a good question. I don't know. I would say...
Billy, do you have an idea? A what?
Well, yes. So, like, lemons are, like, yellow oranges.
I would call it a husk fruit.
A husk fruit?
Because it's got that like rough exterior. All right. I think we need to think on this. This isn't one of those things where you can just like off the top of your head.
Chris is laughing. Why are you laughing? Why are you laughing up there?
I'm laughing because it is a tough game to play on the spot. I was trying to think of an apple, and I was going down the path instead of, because if an avocado is an alligator, an apple is maybe like a cardinal, and I was trying to think of what the next word would be. I don't know. I'm trying to, like, a red apple, obviously, is what I'm talking about. Billy, help me out here.
Have another one. Lime is a green orange. So we have yellow orange is green orange.
Okay. But we're not thinking outside the box.
We're not giving you credit for either of those answers.
But they have the same texture, right? They're just different colors.
I mean, yeah, but like I feel like you could take it a step further. Like you're in the box, I want you to be outside the box, you know? When we do this exercise, like step outside the box.
I got you. All right. So an orange then would be an orange lime.
How about that?
I think in the next break, we all focus on one fruit. And when we come back from break, then you have to say what your new name for that is.
It doesn't necessarily have to be a fruit, though, right? Is an avocado a fruit?
It is.
It is a fruit.
Yeah, it is technically a fruit. Technically a fruit. A lot of people think it's a vegetable. It's a fruit.
Is that tomato? The tomato is technically a fruit as well? Isn't that the other one that messes people up?
Yep.
Basically, when I'm at Kroger, I basically do a quiz of myself. And you know when you can search by picture? I'll click fruits, and then I make sure that I know all the fruits are in that category on the checkout screen. Do you know what I'm saying? Like the self-checkout?
Well, I know what you're saying.
It's a good way to check yourself, you know?
I would love Learning to tell lesson. You that there is no judgment happening right now, Katie, but that would be a lie.
Thank God.
Thank God. Yeah, Roy. Thank you.
Speaking of judgment, guys, the ESPN Daily List came out today, and in it was a list of the best arena hype music, right? So I got super excited about this because I love me some music, and I was thinking, okay, yeah, let's do this. 7 a.m., let's listen to some tunes, let's hear some stuff, get pumped up as though I'm at my favorite arena. Remember those days? RIP, going to your favorite arena, y'all. And I'm not gonna lie, Katie, I was not thrilled with this list. Like some of the songs, really good, but the rankings, not great. Do you have it there in front of you? Can you rattle them off for us?
Yes. Would you like 1 through 10 or 10 through 1?
I think you got to go 10 through 1 because that's how it was presented in the ESPN Daily article this morning, the newsletter.
So coming in at number 10 was Bodak Yellow by Cardi B. Which, to be fair, hypes me up. I don't know. I feel you guys are nodding your head, like you're feeling it. You guys like this one?
But it's a little mellow for the arena, right?
Until she starts rapping, then I think it gets a little bit more hype. Okay, so coming in at number 9, I think we can all agree this is an arena or stadium favorite, Enter Sandman, Metallica. Great beat. I mean, yep, thank you, Spencer.
I mean, who do you think of immediately? First person you think of when you hear Enter Sandman is Mariano Rivera. Right?
The Miami Heat.
See, it's so interesting how that becomes like a regional thing.
It is. Okay, coming in at number 8, and I feel like this one might cause some controversy. I love this song, but coming in at number 8 is Truth Hurts by Lizzo. And so, hear me out. Like, if I'm having a girls' night with my girls, and they come over, and we're having, like, you know, drink round one, round two of a couple drinks before we actually go where we're going. Like, this is the song that's played. I don't think this is played in an arena getting hyped for a game.
I agree. Great song. Totally an earworm, right? Like, once you hear it, it's there for the next 48, 72 hours. Do you ever wake up in the middle of the night and you're like, why am I singing that song? This is one of those where you, like, wake Absolutely. Up in the middle of the night, go to pee, grab some water, and you're like, yeah, but I agree.
See, you guys were judging me for the fruits. Like, I feel like we should judge Jen for that.
For having the song in the head in the middle of the night? No, man, everybody can relate to that. You wake up in the middle of the night and you're like, why am I still singing that song from Hamilton?
Well, that's fair. Okay, so Truth Hurts, Lizzo, number 8. Number 7, Seven Nation Army, The White Stripes.
Totally underrated. Can we get a little beat from Seven Nation Army? What do you got, Chris?
I realized that I just screwed up and that I said that the Miami Heat, this is the Miami Heat song. It's not Enter Sandman from a couple.
See,
I'm sorry. That was just a mistake.
People get them confused, okay? You know who doesn't?
No one gets these songs confused.
The White Stripes don't get it confused, Chris.
This is the number one, Billy, right? Anthem, number one?
This feels like they put it at seven just to be cute because it's called Seven Nation Army.
Oh, I didn't even put that together.
Yeah, it's not. I think this needs to be higher on the list.
They're not doing it. It's due justice. This deserves, in my opinion, to be number one on the list. This is the one that's a banger. You get in there, you get thousands of people together, and doof, 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 doof. Yeah, I mean, to me, this is the number one stadium anthem. No questions asked.
Number
six. You know
six,
the other song that people would sing like that? Remember Zombie Nation? That's not on this list, but like you'd have everybody in the car like, oh.
That's a great point.
That's like at every hockey game.
And yeah. Soccer. I feel like soccer, right? Is that another one?
Yeah,
what
I think
so. What do you
got,
so. Katie? Number six.
Six is Lose Yourself, Eminem, which...
Classic.
I mean, I've fallen victim to playing this in the locker room a few times. Love it.
This is legit. I actually think this is probably underrated as well at number six. We are going to do the rest of this list, guys, after the break. We're getting some feedback here. We love the interaction. The rest of the stadium hype music list coming up after the break here on the Dan Le Batard Show. Guests on the Dan Le Batard Show appear via the Shell Pennzoil Performance Line. Soccer is back on ESPN Plus, Serie A, FA Cup, MLS, and more. Plus, get original series, exclusive studio shows, and the complete 30 for 30 library. Stream soccer from the best leagues and tournaments all around the world, all in HD on your favorite devices. The beautiful game lives on ESPN Plus. Sign up today at ESPNplus.com or in the ESPN app. Time now, Katie, George, for a SportsCenter update.
Well, Jen, 15 women who previously worked for Washington's NFL organization have alleged sexual harassment and verbal abuse by former scouts and members of owner Daniel Snyder's inner circle. WNBA Commissioner Kathy Engelbert said Atlanta Dream co-owner Kelly Loeffler, a U.S. senator from Georgia, won't be pushed into selling her interest in the team, but that the league is aware of other potential owners for the franchise. Say hello to Casper, the sleep company with outrageously comfortable products such as award-winning mattresses, pillows, and bedding. Go to Casper.com now. Casper has everything to build the dream bed for you. That's Casper.com. For all the latest headlines and information, tune into SportsCenter on ESPN Radio all throughout the day.
We're listening to Shipping Up to Boston because we've been talking about hype songs for arenas and stadiums. Chris saying that this song makes him think of The Departed every time. I'm with you, Chris. It makes me think of Leo. Makes me think of it was Scorsese, right, who did The Departed? He's nodding to me with the authority.
Phenomenal song.
We also have been talking about fruit and its alternative names. Katie was kind enough during the break to hand out our fruit assignments as we learned that avocado is also known as an alligator pear. Katie, do you want to real quick run through what everybody got?
Yeah, and I'd like to also say that I was fought on a lot of these choices. I was just divvying them up, and some people wanted to switch and make trades, and that's not allowed, okay? Chris, you got red grapes. Roy, coconut. Tony, kiwi. Jen, pineapple. I, myself, banana. Billy, watermelon. So when we, you know, get to another segment, we need new names for these fruits that we're going to go by, like the alligator pear.
No tradesies. I am guilty of complaining about what I originally got, and as the driver of the show today, I took pineapple. That's just how it happens sometimes. Yep. But I would. It's one of those do as I say, not as I do, because I told all y'all, you get what you get, and you don't get upset, which is what we tell our kids now when they get mad because they didn't get the fruit snacks pack that had Elsa. It only had Olaf. But I digress. One of the big stories that people have been talking about over the last 72 hours was the story that the Washington Post dropped on the rampant culture of sexual harassment within the Washington football franchise. We are joined now on the Shell Pennzoil Performance Line by Will Hobson, one of the authors of that piece in the Washington Post. Thanks for joining us today, Will.
No problem. Thanks for having me.
I'd like to know how this got started. How did you first find out about what was happening within the Washington football franchise front office?
It was about 2 years ago. The New York Times did an expose about how the Skins sales execs had been selling access to cheerleaders as part of their like suite packages. And we were approached by a few women who said, you know, it's bigger than just the cheerleaders. It's the whole front office. Every woman who goes through that organization deals with this stuff. So for about 3 months, two summers ago, Liz and I reached out to a bunch of former employees, and we heard a good portion of what's in today's story, but we just couldn't get anyone on the record, and we couldn't get anything in the way of documentation. So we dropped it, and then a few weeks ago, some of these women reached back out, and one of them had changed her mind and gone on the record, and a few others had text messages and other documents that put us in a much better position of being able to get a story out.
Well, when you're talking to all these women, what was the biggest thing that surprised you after going through all your findings time and time again?
The brazenness of a lot of this. That's what struck some of the women, particularly the two journalists that we quoted who were harassed by the former director of Pope personnel. Some of the stuff was going on behind closed doors and then private messages and texts and stuff, but a lot of it was just in, like, plain view of other team employees, other league employees, other journalists. Like, these guys, they just apparently didn't, they had no shame about what they were doing, and they didn't really fear anything in the way of punitive measures if this stuff was ever exposed.
It's interesting because that type of behavior often needs an environment where it can thrive, right? Sometimes all it takes is one supervisor to say, we are not doing this. This is not the culture we are creating. There, you know, a penalty or some type of punishment when that type of stuff comes to light. How far up does this go?
I guess it kind of depends on how you ask or what you mean by how far I guess. As we make clear, none of these women accused Team Owner Dan Snyder of harassing them or acting improperly with women. But where they do blame him for this culture is in the way he treats the handful of executives that he does talk to on a daily basis. They say he belittles them, he humiliates them. It's very much like a high school environment, and that they believe that kind of sets the tone for the broader culture in the front office.
Well, I'm sure your focus obviously was on the piece and getting it out and posted and published. But were you able to see kind of the buildup and everything that was taking place on Twitter of, people, making accusations or alleging what they thought had happened, until we actually had the facts? Because everybody, was waiting for your all's report to come out to see what it entailed. Did you get to see any of that kind of buildup on Twitter, on social media over the last couple of days?
I was aware of it. Candidly, when it started, I kind of enjoyed it and viewed it as a positive because it would just build audience for the story. But right. Particularly yesterday, it got way out of hand. A few of these women expressed kind of dismay that the story was met with by some folks of, oh, that's it, because they were expecting us to have, like, Dan Snyder on Jeff Epstein's yacht, like, doing lines of coke off of strippers. And, we don't have that story, but we do have this story, and they felt it was important.
And that's been our biggest frustration. Will Hobson, who joins us from the Washington Post on the expose on the culture of sexual harassment within the Washington football franchise front office, is that unfortunately now it has been minimized, right? Because it didn't live up to quote unquote expectations by people who were hypothesizing or trying to guess what this bombshell could be. The league has released a statement and said that they, are going to, do a thorough investigation into these allegations, but it's hard to paint with a broad brush, right? We obviously have people who have gone on the record in Washington saying that this culture exists. But as women in the sports field, we know that this type of sexism exists elsewhere. This is going to sound really simple, but what is the easiest way to start curbing this type of behavior? Is it just more accountability within these front offices?
I think that's definitely a start. I think it's that. I think it's hiring more women. I think it's promoting more women to leadership teams. These quote unquote locker room mentalities, they tend to develop in places where it's just a bunch of dudes. So I think diversity is obviously one important measure. To be clear, I spoke with some women who said, this stuff goes on across all pro sports. But many of them did say this was a particularly acute issue within the Redskins organization.
What'd you make of the HR department or the current state of what is the Redskins HR department?
The club contends that it's better than it used to be. I think it's still staff based. It's still one employee who, from what I can tell, I'm not trying to disparage her, but she's young and you know, I'm not entirely certain whether she has the political capital in the organization to, you know, discipline like a, you know, senior level executive.
Sure.
But they, you know, they claim the culture is different and, you know, we'll see.
Will Hobson, you spoke with so many people. I think I read 40 in the article, 15 women who are willing to go on the record, one who is willing to use her name. Where are these women at mentally? It requires an incredible amount of strength to call to task an organization like this, a behemoth, you know, responsible for your financial livelihood. Where are they mentally when you spoke to them?
About the story or just in general?
I guess in general. I mean, do they feel emboldened? I would imagine that some of this rehashing is traumatic to have to relay. But again, you were able to speak to the women. I was just curious, you know, how they were doing.
Right. Yeah, I mean, for a few of them, it was an emotional experience talking about what they went through. But for many of them, I think the process, I hope, but I also do think in the conversations I've had with some of them this morning, it was cathartic because they, you know, they wanted this behavior exposed. They wanted this stuff out there. You know, the woman who provided us with text messages in which Scout was telling her that they were debating whether or not her breasts had been enhanced and he'd bring her lunch if he let her grab her ass. You know, I talked to her off and on for 2 years. I should say my colleague Liz and I have talked to her off and on for 2 years, and she only in the last 3 days agreed to give us those text messages. And she texted me this morning. She couldn't be happier with the story.
Oh, good. Well, I'm glad to hear that. What was it like for you? I mean, you worked on this for 2 years. What did you learn just in general as a male journalist covering a story like this?
What did I learn? I learned, I mean, just as a reporter, the value of not assuming somebody won't talk to you and not assuming somebody won't talk to you on the record. You know, Nora Princiati and Rhiannon Walker, the two female journalists who spoke in the story, I called Rhiannon completely expecting, you know, I'll only talk on background. And she said, oh, no, I'm on the record and I'm gonna connect you with Nora and she's going to talk on the record, too. Wow. So yeah. And then obviously, you know, I figured this type of culture existed, but I wasn't aware of the extent of it.
Will Hobson of the Washington Post, the co-author of the bombshell report that came out yesterday, From Dream Job to Nightmare, which detailed more than a dozen women who alleged sexual harassment and verbal abuse by former team employees at the Washington Football franchise facility. Will, thank you so much for joining us today. Appreciate your time.
Thanks, Will.
No problem.
Guests on the Dan Le Batard Show appear via the Shell Pennzoil Performance Line. I consider myself a guest on this show, Jen Latta, alongside Katie George. People have been telling me on Twitter that we need to say our names more often, so I'm going to go a little Destiny's Child here, and it's Jen Latta and Katie George. Katie? You got a Sports Center update for us.
That I do. Real Madrid clinched a record-extending 34th La Liga title with one game to spare by beating Villarreal 2-1. WNBA Commissioner Kathy Engelbert said Atlanta Dream co-owner Kelly Loeffler, a U.S. senator from Georgia, won't be pushed into selling her interest in the team, but that the league is aware of other potential owners for the franchise. These days, it's good to be prepared, and that includes your vehicle. That's why Advance Auto Parts has free vehicle battery testing and installation with no appointment needed, and also curbside pickup on any order. Advance your auto at Advance Auto Parts and participating CarQuest locations. See store for details. And finally, Mike Tyson will fight a shark as part of Shark Week 2020. For all the latest headlines and information, tune into SportsCenter on ESPN Radio all throughout the day.
I'm sure PETA will love that.
Oh, yeah.
I'm going to be on top of that one for sure.
But I will watch, so there's also that.
No judgment. No judgment. We have been giving our pseudonyms for fruit. We will get to that in just a moment. But first, we are joined now on the Shell Pennzoil performance line by Emily Kaplan, our ESPN NHL reporter, to talk a little hockey for us. Emily, first and foremost, we need to get a ruling on the fruit names. Katie George has been handling this. She is the commissioner of the pseudonym Fruit League. And we would like to know what you think. We are trying to figure out if we need to eliminate two of these. So which are the weakest terms as far as the ones that we have here? Katie?
Yeah, we want you to tell us which one you would totally take off the list, okay? So red grapes should now be called snake blueberries. Coconuts should now be called husk fruit. Kiwi, green fuzzy football. Pineapples, spiky thighs. Bananas, yellow canoe. And watermelon, green tiger fruit. Which one, Emily, did you absolutely hate? And you're like, nope, has no place among the rest.
It was absolutely the red grape one. You can't describe something as snake. Why would you want to eat it?
Chris, did you hear Emily?
No, yep, he's sliding out of the Zoom window. Now he's throwing a temper tantrum.
Okay, Emily, that's good to know. I appreciate that. That's very helpful. This is the information we needed.
Emily Kaplan is handling our coverage of the NHL, which gets started theoretically within the next couple of weeks. Emily, although there's been a little bit of an update to one of the facilities that the NHL was planning on using for the upcoming restart, what is the latest on that?
Jen, this is just so hilarious to me because it really proves that 2020 is indeed cursed. But the NHL went through this entire process. It is the worst year. They went through this entire process of figuring out which two cities they were going to go to, and they finally determined that they would pick two in Canada because it is the safest, they had the virus under control. They picked Edmonton, this four-year-old, brand-new, state-of-the-art arena. Most players say it's one of the best in the league, if not the best, and Toronto. And last night, there was an incredible storm in Edmonton that rolled through, and there has been water damage, and there's some flooding in the entryway, and they're assessing the damage today, and they don't think this will affect their possibility that they can start exhibition games on July 28th or games on August 1st. But it's just the biggest eye roll, and it's hilarious. And maybe God doesn't want this hockey season to get going either.
Well, hopefully they're able to take care of that. So where are we now? Have guys reported back to training camps within their own cities before leaving? Or what's the setup for them actually getting to Edmonton and Toronto to resume play?
So, Katie, what's going on right now is the 24 teams that are playing this summer are all in training camps in their playing cities. Now, that's a little bit controversial because some of those cities are seeing big coronavirus spikes right now, like sure. Dallas, like in Arizona, in Vegas. But the players wanted this. They said they didn't want to be away from their families for that long, so they want to have training camps in their home cities. So the league is a little bit fragile right now because they're not in a bubble environment. But all the guys are supposed to travel to these two hub cities on July 26th. I mentioned exhibition games will begin 2 days later. And if all goes according to plan and, you know, that water damage isn't too bad, we'll get meaningful games on August 1st.
Emily Kaplan joining us here on the Pennzoil Performance Line. Emily, we have talked about the protocol that some of these other sports have had to adhere to as they try to be as safe as possible with the restarts. Is there been anything that has stood out to you about the way that hockey is handling it, something that maybe not a lot of people are aware of?
You know, I think it's just what I mentioned is the fact that they are playing their training camps right now in, you know, each individual city at a time when it's really tenuous too, and there's no bubble environment. So guys right now are able to go to the rink for practice, but they theoretically can also go to the grocery store or restaurants or bars, or their wives can have play dates with their kids and you don't quite know who they're interacting with. So unlike a lot of the other leagues that hosted their training camp in the bubble, like we're seeing in the NBA, this was definitely a choice by the NHL, and it's really fragile right now for the league.
So when we look at other leagues, right, a lot was made of the relationship Adam Silver had with the players in the NBA and his relationship with Chris Paul, who's president of the NBPA. And then you look at the relationship or deteriorating relationship between Rob Manfred and MLB players and what transpired between those two entities. What can you say about the relationship you see between Gary Bettman, the NHL, and actual players within the league?
Katie, it's so wild because it's really good right now. And people in hockey, like, aren't used to that. We don't expect it. Gary Bettman is a commissioner that had work stoppages three times already in his tenure. But not only did they agree to a return to play format, but both sides also agreed to a CBA extension for four more years. And in that extension, players got a huge win for them because they got in writing that if they can figure out an agreement with the IOC and IIHF, they can return to the Olympics, which is something players feel so passionately about. They love representing their country. So the fact that Gary Bettman could go from a guy that was on the verge of locking them out a fourth time to now creating labor peace, sending the players back to the Olympics, and hopefully awarding a Stanley Cup this summer. Like, things are pretty good between both sides.
Emily, earlier this week, the qualifying round games were announced. What was your reaction to that information?
Honestly, the most exciting thing about it is just the times and the schedule that we're going to see. It's going to be like March Madness. There are three games a day in each of the hub cities, and they're staggered a little bit, especially with the two-hour time zone. So we could be having 15-plus hours of hockey straight, and I think that's the most exciting thing for a consumer, anyone like me, that has been cooped up in a small area for the last 5 months with nothing to watch all day.
Emily Kaplan, ESPN NHL reporter, joining us here on the Dan Le Batard Show to break down the hockey season, which is supposed to get going, barring any other major storms to affect the arenas within the next couple of weeks. Thank you, Emily.
Thanks, Emily.
Thanks, Lee. Have a good one.
Guests on the Dan Le Batard Show appear via the Shell Pennzoil Performance Line. Jen Latta, Katie George, holding it down here for Dan and Stu Gotts, who are on vacation. We still got the SC, though. Hey, guys. No, they're not even paying attention to us. It's fine.
That's what happens.
No one ever does, Katie.
In. Yep. SportsCenter. I'll just go to my SportsCenter by being ignored. Eric Bledsoe, Bucks guard, tested positive for the coronavirus and yet has not made his trip to Orlando, but he is supposed to join his team momentarily once he gets two negative tests. The Mideastern Athletic Conference has suspended all fall sports indefinitely because of the ongoing coronavirus pandemic, but hasn't determined whether the fall schedules will be moved to the 2021 spring semester. Say hello to Casper, the sleep company with outrageously comfortable products such as award-winning mattresses, pillows, and bedding. Go to Casper.com now. Casper has everything to build the dream bedroom. That's Casper.com. For all the latest headlines and information, tune into SportsCenter on ESPN Radio all throughout the day.
We are joined now on the Shell Pennzoil Performance Line by Kaylin Kaler. Kaner, excuse me. Kaylin Kaler, right? Kaylin, how do you pronounce your name?
Kaylin Kaler. You had
there
it.
There we go. I had it, and then I didn't have it, and then I had it again.
Great.
Kaylin is responsible for this incredible, this mind-blowing expose on former NFL player, former Green Bay Packer, Kabir Bajabiamila. She is a former SI staff writer. You can find the piece on Twitter, online. It's a three-part piece that basically details his involvement in a... Man, Kaylin, I don't even know what you would call this. I'd like to call it a cult, but maybe that's disrespectful. His religion. Start us off. How did this piece come to your attention?
Yeah, so it came to my attention, I think, the way it came to a lot of people's attention who either don't live in Green Bay or who hadn't really been closely following, you know, Kabir's post-retirement life. And it was with a incident that happened in December involving a kid's Christmas program with a private Christian school in Green Bay. So there were this became news headlines because there were arrests that happened. And basically, in a nutshell, what happened was Kabir had always been a very fanatic Christian during his playing career. And then after he retired, about 3 years ago, he got involved with a group that is Hebrew Israelite. And really Old Testament based, and they don't identify as Christians. They are pretty anti-Christian. They sort of think Christians are hypocrites, and they put out a lot of YouTube videos just negative about Christians. So he was not happy that his children, he has eight children, and a few of them were part of this Christmas program. And with his beliefs now, Christmas is a pagan holiday. So he didn't want his children to be part of this Christmas program, even though he hadn't seen them in 2 years because, you know, his new beliefs had kind of split up his family because his wife and children did not want to follow him into this religious group. So he is basically leading a chapter of this religious group in Green Bay. He's like the community leader of this branch of the group, which is called Straightway Truth Ministry. So two of the guys who are part of this branch who
a part of his Green Bay chapter. They're white guys in their early 20s. He sent them to the Christmas program to, in his own words, he said, to take video and photos of his children, who he refers to as his property, being involved in this Christmas show against his approval, like without his consent. He wanted evidence of that. So the two guys show up and they're concealed carrying. So they both have guns hidden in their waistband and they don't have a permit. And the headmaster of the Christian school, he recognized them from a biblical debate that they had earlier. And he kind of thought this might escalate. He knew they had been having some disagreements with Kabir about this Christmas program. So he was afraid of what might happen. And he also knew that the group is very into arming themselves and self-defense. So he sort of assumed that these guys were carrying weapons on them. So he asked them to leave. They wouldn't leave. So he ends up calling the police. The police come and they end up arresting the guys because they are carrying guns to a school event without a permit to be carrying. And so it sort of escalated into this sort of dramatic night. And the community rightfully was very afraid of this because it was sort of a what could have happened situation. So that is how I found out about this story. And I read the news story. One of my editors sent it to me and he was like, I think there might be something here. And I read the news story. And I was like, absolutely. There is a story here and I need to find out what it is. So that's how I got interested in this.
Well, that's an understatement, Kaylin, because I was brought this story by Jen, who wanted to discuss it on our show today. So in prep last night, I read all three chapters that you have published on Sports Illustrated. And I felt like I was reading, but watching a Netflix expose or docuseries, right? From your writing, you did a phenomenal job. And I would recommend anyone who's got time to go read it. Tell me if this is fair, because I'm trying to liken the Straightway Trust ministry to something familiar, right? And I don't know if that's fair because every religious community, every religious group is different, and I understand that. But when you were doing this story and talking to different people and learning more about Straightway, did you see any similarities between that group and what we saw from Waco and David Koresh and the Davidians? Because for me, and this might be wrong, and I want you to educate me. For me, as I was reading through your articles, it reminded me a lot of the Waco situation. Is that fair?
Yeah, I think that's fair. And that was something that came up with a lot of people that I interviewed, with former teammates, with religious scholars and people who are like deep into this field. That came up a lot. And actually, it's fair to say that because Kabir brought it up himself. I mean, I was stunned when he told me in our 6-hour interview, he brought up the fact that he's been studying David Koresh and what happened to him. And I think by that he meant, he was watching the Netflix series and probably doing some reading about it, because he is self-aware of how the community is a little bit afraid of him right now. And I think he's aware that, he told me himself, he called the FBI because he found out from somebody that FBI was looking into him. So he told me that he called them himself to try to get out in front of it because he doesn't want to be the next David Koresh. And he brought that up. He said he has been studying what happened to him to try to learn kind of like what not to do. So he is aware enough to know, yeah, there are some real similarities here. And he's afraid, after what happened with the Christmas program and all the news reports that went out about that, I mean, he's afraid that people might attack him. He doesn't really understand why people think he's dangerous and why people are afraid of him. He's more afraid of the other way around, like the feds will raid him or another religious group will raid his property. So he brought that up himself, which I thought was really interesting.
Kaylin Kaler joins us here on ESPN Radio, the Shell Pennzoil Performance Line, talking about her article on SI.com about Kabir Bajabia Miller. Full disclosure, I covered Kabir during his time in Green Bay, and this is what I will tell people about Kabir. He was always willing to fill your microphone or fill your notebook, right? And he would talk about the game. He would answer your questions. He would, talk positions, talk matchups and all of that stuff. But inevitably, the conversation would turn to religion. And so as an experienced reporter, you would have to kind of remove yourself from the scrum before it turned to that, or you would get sucked into where he would basically be using it as a pulpit. And so reading this, I was like, this makes sense. Like, he was so passionate about his religious beliefs then, they hadn't taken this extremist turn at that point. It was still, like I said, based in Christianity, like you mentioned. What was interesting to me, though, Kalen, is that he is not the only NFL player who has aligned himself with this organization. So what is it about this group that resonates with former players?
Yeah, so that was the most, like, kind of like the twist in my reporting when I found out that Robert Mathis and Daniel Muir were also part of this group. And I found that out because Kabir posted a video of his wedding, his most recent marriage to a woman also part of the religious group. And Daniel and Robert were in his like wedding party, like dancing down the aisle. And I recognized Robert Mathis and I was like, oh my God, that's Robert Mathis. So I think what really appeals to them is, and Kabir said this is in his own words, he said that the leader of this group, his name is Pastor Charles Dowell. If you watch his videos, he's very masculine. He's super muscular. He does a lot of sort of like body language that is very macho. He speaks directly to you. He does not sugarcoat anything. Kabir said that appealed to him because he seemed like a coach. He was like a coach figure to him, like the same kind of authoritative male figure that he'd been playing for. You know, during his playing career and his whole life playing football. And he said, Dowell is a man's man. And he sort of said, well, he said directly that Christianity was soft and Christianity was feminine. And I think what happens to some former players, I don't want to generalize too much, but certainly in the case of Kabir, he retired and he entered this more like feminine world where he wasn't completely always around men. And especially for him, of his 8 kids, he has 7 boys. So he had always, you know, had a more masculine upbringing and a more masculine family. And so then when he retires, I think he was looking for that same sort of coach figure again. And he said that Christianity was really feminine. So I think that's one of the things that really appeals to them in this. And it also, there's a lot of ex-military guys who are part of this group as well. So there's a similarity between ex-football players and ex-military. And Robert Mathis and Daniel Muir made the same comparison of Dowell as a coach. So I think there's really an obvious connection there between, you know, their background as a football player and why they're attracted to this religion.
Kalen, I found it educational, thought-provoking, I mean, downright fascinating, right? What do you hope people take away from the 3-chapter serial long-form series that you've posted on SI?
Yeah, so I think, like, the biggest thing that I learned was just how easy it is, you know, and I think when you look at Kabir from the beginning of his playing days, like Jen just brought up how he was really fanatic about Christianity then, and it's not shocking to see where he's ended up now. When you look back, you can kind of see incrementally every step along the way. And that was what was so fascinating to me in this process of reporting is that, you know, you can so easily, because of YouTube and because of everything that we can find on the internet these days, you can so easily change your whole life just based off of watching a few YouTube videos that turn into a few more YouTube videos that turn into a few more. And so for me, that was really fascinating. It reminded me of the New York Times podcast Rabbit Hole, which is about radicalization on YouTube and sort of extremism on YouTube and how you can easily get into that. And so that's really what I took away from this is like how, you know, Kabir is not a crazy person. Like he wasn't this, you know, out of control, like wild person. He was a normal guy and he still is a normal guy. He's just kind of fallen into this rabbit hole, I guess. And so that was really fascinating to me. And I learned a lot from talking to his former teammates about what Jen was talking about how he was so into Christianity then and not afraid to challenge people and not afraid to have uncomfortable conversations. And so when you look back, you can just see how it all played out. And I think that is sort of the lesson I learned is just how, you know, available things are online and it can really change your life.
Kalen Kaler joins us here on the Shell Pennzoil Performance Line talking about her piece, Pray for Kabir, which is available on sportsillustrated.com right now. You can go to her Twitter, which is Kalen Kaler, to find it. I'm curious about you personally and how this may have affected you. This story was very difficult for me to read, especially when we were talking about the way that women are treated in this mm-hmm. group and some of the violence against women that seems to be not only accepted but encouraged because of the hierarchy in the religious group. Did you, and again, we look, you're a professional journalist, so you have to separate yourself from that stuff, but did it affect you to be seeing these women and talking to these women who had experienced a lot of this?
Absolutely. It was alarming. You know, what, the young woman who was sexually abused, she couldn't even talk to me on the phone because it was too raw for her. So we did our whole interview over, you know, a messaging app. And then I did video chat with her later just to confirm, you know, I wasn't being catfished, because that was a whole other issue with this story, is like everyone was so paranoid. In terms of people who had left this religious group, they were all so paranoid, and that, you know, I wasn't who I said I was. And then I became paranoid that they weren't who they said they were. But yeah, it absolutely affected me. And it was really sad to hear her story, and to hear the way they talk about women and the way that Kabir talks about his 8 children. He refers to them as property. And at one point in their interview, he referred to them as like crops that washed away in a storm. And he like is just completely detached from his children. So that was just, you know, disturbing, obviously. And yeah, reporting the story was, I mean, obviously it affects you personally, because I had to watch so many of their YouTube videos, because the unique thing about this reporting process is that all of the information is out there. It's all online. It's all on YouTube. You just have to sit through and have the patience to watch all of this content. And, you know, at one point in the reporting process, I started having dreams about this group. And I was like, I said to my editor, I was like, hey, make sure that like I'm not indoctrinated by the end of this, because I'm consuming like so much of their content. Like, and wow, this is how you get, you know, this is how you get into it. And, you know, I'm fine now. I can say I'm fine. I survived. But it was like, you know, you do get the sense of like, okay, so this is how people get involved in this, because I did have to watch so much of their stuff.
Kaylin, you did a fantastic job. Excellent yeah. reporting. It is a captivating, startling, disturbing story. Thank you for uncovering it. And thank you for chatting with us here on the Dad and Lebatard Show today.
Thanks, Kaylin.
Thanks so much, John and Katie.
ESPN Radio presented by Progressive Insurance. If you missed any of the show, you can listen to all 3 hours of the Dan Lebatard Show, plus our Miami only hour and our best of podcast on demand in the ESPN app. And subscribe to the Lebatard and Friends podcast network, featuring South Beach Sessions, Stupidity, and Mystery Crate. Please rate and subscribe. New episodes are posted every week wherever you get your podcasts. I didn't want to go full Stu Gatz there. Jen Latta, Katie George, holding it down for Dan and Stu Gatz as I stumbled over South Beach Sessions. I can't believe that we haven't talked about, speaking of South Beach, that there was a kangaroo loose in Fort Lauderdale yesterday with y'all. Like, did anybody encounter the kangaroo? Did anybody, was anybody on a search party for the kangaroo?
I was not on the search party. I saw the video. It was a little alarming. Kangaroos are one of those animals that just looks like they're going to really hurt you. Like, they, like, you know, do. What I mean? They seem like they're tensed up. I don't want them to they're get really muscular. Angry around me, but they captured it pretty seamlessly.
I actually think that's legit about kangaroos. I think kangaroos could really F you up.
So break this down for me. What on earth happened? Why was there a kangaroo loose in Fort Lauderdale?
Damn it,
kangaroos. I have no...
Sometimes kangaroos just do what kangaroos do when they leave their pens and they just run around. They want
sometimes
to take,
they hop over the fence.
Apparently,
exactly.
It's still a mystery. It's still
a
mystery.
Is it from the zoo, or was it from somebody's personal zoo? I know they got those down in Florida.
I don't think they know.
Carol Baskin, she lives down there.
Authorities in South Florida are trying to figure out how a marsupial ended up hopping through the streets of Fort Lauderdale. This is actually a decent segue, because marsupial is another great name for kangaroo. We have also been spending part of today's show coming up with other names for fruit, as we recently learned that avocado should also be referred to as an alligator pear.
Are we sure we want to go down this? I mean, Josh tweeted in that this was stupid. So,
oh, it's hella stupid.
Josh said, if we were
who doesn't think this is stupid, show of hands. Yep, there's none. Oh,
but you two, you four are the professionals. Tony, Billy, Roy, Chris. Josh included you in the tweet and said, working with the talented, professional, excellent, mighty, I'm actually throwing in buzzwords, but he said, if you guys were any kind of producers, you wouldn't allow us to talk about this kind of content. Fruit. Yeah.
Have you not listened to the show?
I've listened to the show. I thought this was what happened.
Can I be honest with you? I'm wondering if Josh has ever listened to the show, if I'm being real.
I mean, Yellow Canoe? Who doesn't want to call their bananas a Yellow Canoe?
Again.
That was sneaky, one of the worst options, by the way.
No,
we
wasn't.
Let you slide on that one, Katie. I mean, that one, like, if I'm being honest, maybe mine was terrible, but you're right there with me. Come on,
well, then what would you have called a banana?
I will say this. Asterisk next to Katie's selection of banana, because it's a dangerous fruit
sexual,
to have to rename,
Chris.
Right?
It's right? Friday morning, for gosh sakes.
Shakes.
I don't want it to be sexual.
Gosh sakes.
Why are you throwing that at me?
What if we call the banana an edible boomerang?
Ooh,
I don't hate it.
That's actually pretty good.
I don't hate it.
I mean, it's good, just like Yellow Canoe. Like, Yellow Canoe
recap?
Was good as well.
Katie, you have the list over there. Can you recap for us, please? I love that she has to flip through her notebook. Like, she's got legit notes on certain sports topics, and then one of her pages has
songs, and then the other page has made up.
And we'll get to that in a second as well, because ESPN Daily Newsletter listed the top 10 sports anthem. Arena anthems. I keep jamming that up, man. Arena anthems. So we have the list there. You guys have been killing it on the Twitter line, giving us suggestions. We had issues with a couple of the songs that were included. Full disclosure. Katie, the list of the fruit pseudonyms is...
Chris was given red grapes. He came back with snake blueberries because he believes the skin of red grapes... is coarse and
great answer, textured. Like Family Feud. Good answer.
Okay,
good answer.
Roy had coconut and he came back with husk fruit. Tony had kiwi. He calls them now green fuzzy footballs. Jen had a pineapple. She calls it now the spiky thigh. I had bananas, yellow canoes, and Billy had watermelon, which he is now going with green tiger fruit.
I still think his best submission was the boomerang.
Yeah, I mean, so what did
golden
you call that?
Golden boomerang.
Edible,
how about
edible?
That? Gold. The golden boomerang. We're getting a little meh.
I don't know. What did Billy, what was it? You said edible boomerang?
I think it was edible boomerang.
I like it.
But we could do edible golden boomerang.
But again, see what Chris has done here? He's pointed the conversation, the focus to me, so that we are off topic, which is to hate on him and snake blueberries. We can't let him easily divert us like that.
You saw that?
Yeah,
boom!
I did.
I don't think,
you know,
anybody's, I don't think anybody's talking.
Though?
Did we put this on the poll, by the way? Put this on the poll. Have we put it? No. Look, Billy's like, wow, there's
Billy's
five.
Like,
I can only do four.
It's fine. I have a workaround. You know what? They're all going to be on there, even Chris's stupid suggestion. But when you were telling the stories, I was trying to figure out if we renamed kangaroos, what kangaroos would be named based on what they do.
Uh-huh. Something
and
like a boxer. Don't you? Isn't there like a kangaroo
an
boxer?
Yeah.
Hopping?
Maybe like
a hopping...
An upright boxing rat or something
like
that.
Oh, and another word for boxer is a pugilist, right? That's the other word for boxer. So maybe we could work.
Low-hanging fruit.
Is it pugilist or pugilist?
Pugilist.
I don't know. I didn't know that was the other word for boxing.
Pugilist.
I don't know.
The leaping pugilist. It's the hopping. No, again, adjectives are usually my strong point. I'm a features reporter here at ESPN. Usually words come very easily to me, but this has been a struggle.
Is that kangaroo still loose?
No, I think they did. They got the.
So who do you call? Like the Ghostbusters, but like for kangaroos, like it's, I know it's like pet control, but like, do you call like the normal pet control people who like come find dogs? Billy, you're
raising
your
hand. No lie. I think they took it out, like, in the back of a cop car. Like, they arrested the kangaroo.
Wow.
Yeah.
Handcuffs on that thing?
Well, where's the meme for that? Surely that's got to be the meme the internet needs. Just a kangaroo chilling in the back of a cop
car? He is a cute little bugger. I'm looking at the video right now. I might take him home. If I saw him hopping around the streets of Fort Lauderdale, I got to tell you guys, I might bring him back to my house. Just saying.